I don't know a human being who doesn't long for peace. And certainly, you know, that applies to things like war. You know, this week there was news out of Yemen that the UN had reached a tentative ceasefire. And I understand that it's fragile and it could change and not work. But when I heard that headline, my whole, like, being took a sigh of relief. 50,000 people have been killed in Yemen. Millions are on the brink of starvation. And so when the possibility of peace arose, everything within me breathed again. Because I think peace is something that we all long for. But here's the thing. I think we often short sell peace. We shrink it down. And when we use that word, what we are talking about more often than not is an absence of war or conflict. And peace is that. It is the absence of those things, or it can be. But friends, peace in the biblical sense of the word is much deeper and wider reaching. It's often in the Bible the word shalom. Shalom. Which carries with it the idea of a peace that reaches every crack and crevice of the world, bringing wholeness and completeness to everything it touches. Shalom, peace, as the Bible talks about it, is the world as it should be. That's peace. And so sure, you know, to have peace in your home might mean, could mean, that your kids never fight again. Amen. And unlikely. Right? I'll take the odds on that. Unlikely. But shalom, peace in the biblical sense, what that might look like in your home is that when your kids fight among themselves, they might then take the step of reconciliation. That would be peace. That would be shalom. See, peace doesn't mean that you'll never get into a heated conversation with your sibling or your spouse or Uncle Harry at Christmas dinner. You will have conflict in your life. But what shalom looks like is that when conflict arises, when differing perspectives are in the same room, peace shows up as empathy and compassion and humility. See, we often think of peace in a way that's far too small, I think. We shrink it down to only mean an absence of conflict or war, but it is much more than that. When the angels came and declared, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace on whom his favor rests," they weren't just talking about an absence of conflict. In fact, Jesus later on in his own life seems to say that he came in part to create conflict. Ooh. Matthew 10, you can read that on your own and have fun with that this week. You know, Jesus doesn't seem to say that his arrival means that there's no more conflict. But he did come. He did take on flesh so that the whole world, every crack and crevice of it, every relationship and workplace, every village and every school would know shalom. See, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. All the people, the angel says. The good news of the Messiah's birth and the coming peace is for everyone. But here's the problem, or one of the problems. We often try to get peace in all the wrong ways. Has anyone ever tried to threaten their way to peace? Let me just share a hypothetical moment, a hypothetical possibility. You're in a home, there's a family with children, maybe you're babysitting, maybe you're at a family gathering, and there are a lot of kids, and the kids are going nuts, bonkers. It is loud, they're running around, throwing things, jumping off couches, banging on the piano, and as the noise increases, so does the tension within you, right? until you can't handle it anymore, hypothetically. You run into the chaos and you lay down the law. Listen here, children. If you don't quiet down, I'm going to give away all of your stuffed animals, right? I need some peace and quiet, we say. And that's peace through fear. And I've tried that. I'll be honest with you, I've tried that. You know, I've tried that method. Maybe you have too. And you might, we might not be alone. In fact, at the time of Jesus' birth, Rome ruled much of the world. And in fact, about 30 years before Jesus arrives, Caesar Augustus declares that the world is experiencing something it never had experienced before. Pax Romana. Pax means peace, Romana, Rome. The peace of Rome. Roman peace. See, Rome boasted that they had brought peace to the world like it had never known before. And when they talked about it, they actually used the language of a miracle. The miracle of the Pax Romana. That the divine, this was a divine action. This proved actually Caesar's divinity and the favor of Rome with the gods. You see what's going on here? Now, Rome wasn't totally wrong. During this period, Pax Romana, there were portions of the empire that were without war for quite some time. But if you study history a little bit, you have to ask, how did Caesar achieve the Pax Romana, and what kind of peace was it? Well, to the first question, how did Caesar achieve this peace? Quite simply, he achieved it through fear. And if necessary, through force. Listen here, children, he said to the empire. Right? As long as everyone follows the laws and pays their taxes, there was peace in the land. Forget the fact that Rome had invaded your village, pillaged everything you had, and killed your family. Just pledge your allegiance to Caesar, and all would be fine. But of course, it wasn't fine, was it? And while there was an absence of war in many places, it was anything but shalom. Now, you have to understand, Jesus grew up in this world, in a world of Pax Romana. And so when Jesus says in his final days, this is what he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, I do not give to you as the world gives. When Jesus says that, make no mistake, he is responding directly to Pax Romana, to the peace of Rome, to the miracle that Rome had offered the world. And I think what Jesus wants us to understand is that there are different kinds of peace. There's peace that the world gives, there's peace that he gives, the shalom that Christ offers, and then there's Pax Romana. See, there's a deep, abiding peace that can reach and restore all things, and then there's a peace that's superficial and only for some people. There's a peace achieved through mercy and justice and love, and then there's a peace achieved through fear and force. There's the peace of Christ, and then there's the Pax Romana, or as it is for me, the Pax Dublea. You see, I've already talked about how I've tried to create peace in my life. One way, through fear or threat. Listen here, children, right? I know that one. But there are other ways that I've tried to create peace over my life. Sometimes I try to get peace through, what I'll call like a clever strategy. I think about, my longing for financial peace and how I think that if I just get the right budget or pinch enough pennies or spend enough time worrying and fretting and planning, then one day finally I'll have peace. And I've tried this strategy for pretty much all of my adult life, 30 years, and you know what? It really has yet to work. I don't know that I'm any more at peace today when I take that route than I was when I was 10 and earning my first paycheck shoveling pig pens. Now, it's not to say that we are to take money lightly or to not care about it or not plan. We are to be very good stewards of this resource. Make no mistake about it. But I go too far. And I think that I, on my own, can achieve some level of peace if I just fret and strategize and plan my way to it. Or here's a different one. Sometimes I think that I can get peace through retaliation. I know as a pastor I'm not supposed to say that, so let's just say this is hypothetical. Hypothetically, I think this. You know, when you hurt me, when I've been hurt by someone, there's a tension, right? There's an unrest. There's something that I feel, and I want to resolve that tension. You know what this is like when you're in conflict with someone, when there's damage in a relationship. You feel that tension and unrest. Sometimes I think to myself, the way to resolve that tension, the way to peace, is through retaliation, by giving them a little bit of what they've given me. Now, I would never sit down at my home after someone's hurt me and think, you know what, the way to peace is through retaliation. Yes, that makes perfect sense. I would never think of it in that way, in those kind of clear terms, but that's what's going on. When someone hurts you and you try to resolve the tension through retaliation, it's an attempt at peace, but in all the wrong ways. Or how about this one? I think that I can get peace by clinging tightly to what I have. If I hold on to my time, my energy, my home, my money, my possessions, if I keep them close and tight to the chest, that's how I'll get stability. Security, comfort, peace. See, Rome created the Pax Romana. If I'm honest, I've tried to create the Pax Diblea. And when you boil it all down, what I'm really doing here is I'm trying to create peace through control. If I can just control my world enough and the people that are in it, then I'll figure out a way to get peace. But listen to Jesus' words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I give to you. The Pax Diblea is my attempt to create peace on my own. It's my attempt to control my life and to manipulate it, and to devise a clever plan so that I can carry it out with my own strength. It's a peace that I create. But as we've talked about, that strategy does not give me or you what we really want. See, the peace of Christ is precisely that. It is the peace of Christ. It is his to give, not ours to create. It is a gift for us to welcome and receive. Now, if I'm honest, I don't like this fact. To be really transparent with you, I'd rather be in control. I'd rather be able to create peace on my own. Thank you very much. It'd be more convenient. And I could do it on my terms and my way at my time. I want control. But peace, in its truest sense, must be received. You and I have to put ourselves into a posture of surrender if we hope to be at peace. Now, some of you may be saying, hold on. Doesn't Jesus say something like, blessed are the peacemakers? Aren't we supposed to be making peace? And I would say, yes. We are to be agents of peace. We are meant and called to usher in shalom to the world. But friends, here's the thing. You can only give away what you have already received. You can only give away what you have already received. See, I think sometimes we think peace is kind of like a package. It's a commodity, a thing. And if I just get it, well, then I can bring it to wherever peace is needed. I know Brian needs some peace, so here you go, Brian. Here's some peace. It's easy. You open it up. Hey, you're welcome. My pleasure. And peace to Brian. It's this thing, this commodity to give away. But here's how peace comes into the world. Peace comes into the world when people like you and I are at peace. Peace is not a package that can be neatly and tidily, you know, picked up and then given away. Peace comes to the world when you are at peace. And wherever you go, you bring that peace with you. And what this means is that you and I, we have to experience the peace of Christ. And it's out of that experience, out of that receiving of a gift, that we are able to give it away. See, the package idea, that is not the answer. Christ in you is the answer. Your life, changed by Christ, is to be the answer the world needs. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So maybe a question to close on this morning is this. What would it look like today for you to put yourself in a place where you could receive the peace of Christ? What would that look like? I bet that there's nearly an infinite number of ways to answer that question. But maybe for some of you, it's taking a walk, because when you get outside in creation, you are more easily able to connect with the Creator. And so the best thing you could do this afternoon to experience Christ and the peace He offers is to take a walk. Teresa tells me that she experiences peace when she plays the piano. And maybe you're like, I can't play the piano. It's terrible. It's anything but peaceful. Well, maybe for you, it's just music in general. It's listening to that favorite album. It's finding that song that connects you to the divine. Maybe it's going out with a friend for a cup of coffee, because you're someone who's highly relational, and being in proximity to someone who is themselves connected to Christ, that then in turn changes you and helps you be more connected. Maybe it's actually being quiet, locking yourself in a closet if required at your home, and spending 10 minutes just listening. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it's memorizing a verse of scripture. I don't know what it might be. But we cannot give away to the world what we have not first experienced ourselves. And that doesn't mean that you and I have to be perfect, or that you have to be someone who meditates 20 out of 24 hours a day, or that your life has to be all put together. It does mean, though, that we have to be in a posture of receptivity and surrender and say, God, what I desire is for your peace to permeate my life. Would you do that? Would you open me up? Would you show me what needs to change? Would you develop within me the kind of character and heart that can receive your peace? And it's in that, and not doing it once, but making that a rhythm of our life, that God comes. And when Jesus leaves with us something that the world cannot offer. So what would it be for you this week? It's your homework to figure that out. Because I can't do it for you. I wish I could hand you a package. Wouldn't that be nice if you all left with one today? And off we went into the world. So what is it for you? Let's spend a moment just being quiet and reflecting on that question and asking God to maybe make it a little more clear how we can ourselves be more open to what this gift is that Jesus offers us. Let's pray together. God, we quiet as best we can in this moment our hearts, our minds. We set aside for a moment the worries and anxieties, the things that are creating pressure and responsibility. And we do our best to open ourselves to who you are and to your way of being in the world. Make us more aware of your love. Help us to be connected to your compassion and hope. May we experience your mercy. And in doing so, be more at peace. And then, of course, God, as the branch always does, then we start thinking about the world and how we can help be peacemakers in the world. But for now, in this moment, help us first to receive this gift that you extend to us with such grace and kindness. We pray it in the Prince of Peace's name. Amen.